You want to get your Bibles open. I have a couple of quick stories to tell you as we begin tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, please. That's where we'll go first. For those of you that are 90 and above, here's a little story for you. Okay? This is from Faces in the Crowd, taken from Sports Illustrated. Diane Friedman, age 96, former office worker, broke the world record in the 100-meter dash for women 95 to 99 years old, finishing in 30.18 seconds at the Lake Erie Association USATF meet. She had, however, set the record a month earlier at 32.9 at the Cleveland Track Classic. Friedman also set the record for the 200 meters at 1 minute 12 and 0.99 seconds at the Lake Erie meet. So never believe at 96 there isn't something you can't do.
Hallelujah.
All right? There you go. That's a priceless piece of information. I don't know if they use starting blocks or not. That's a good question. I don't really know. All right. And, of course, you know why the blonde tiptoed past the medicine cabinet, don't you?
Didn't wake up
sleeping pills. Yes, of course. All right. Time to move on. All right. Well, Lord, thank you very much for tonight. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you that you have your way tonight with our hearts. Thank you for the worship, and thank you for bringing us into a place of your presence tonight. I'm going to go on to Heart of the Warrior Part 2. I want to take a minute and review what I did when I was here the last time. I have a couple things to say, and then we'll move on. I talked back a couple of months ago about the importance of the heart. And I said, the heart is the basis of your emotional life and the core of your character. I went on to say your courage and your determination arise from your heart, among other things. And in Proverbs chapter 4, where you've opened, in verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of, or the core of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. That's not an option. That's a command. Your whole life depends on your heart attitudes. The second thing I talked about was characteristics or attitudes of the heart of a warrior. And I gave you three of them the last time. Number one, I said a true warrior does not necessarily revel in the conflict, but rather in the goal of liberation. A true warrior does not necessarily revel in the conflict, but rather in the goal of liberation. It's always about setting somebody or something free. That's the first thing. Then I said a true warrior knows it's always about others who are depending on them for their safety and protection. And the others could be people that you will never meet. For example, if you go out and you pray over a town or you pray for something, you may never meet the people in the town to which you are praying. But that's okay. Because these people are depending on you for what you have to say and how you pray and your intercession. The third thing is, to be truly successful in God's eyes, a true warrior knows he has to be humble. He doesn't look for recognition. And Jesus said we should learn from him because he was meek and lowly of heart and shall find rest for your souls. Those are the three things that I left you with last time. Now I want to go on, and I have three more points or three more characteristics or three more attitudes to talk about this heart of a warrior. Okay? The first one, or the fourth point, or the new one tonight. A chosen warrior is willing to be transformed into whatever God needs them to be. They abandon their better homes and garden mentality. They lay down their own ideas of what the battle consists of. I need to say that again, I know. Okay? But point number one tonight, a chosen warrior is willing to be transformed into whatever God needs them to be. God bless you. They abandon their better homes and garden mentality. They lay down their own ideas of what the battle consists of. Romans chapter 12, please. When you're done with that. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. A very, very familiar verse. However, what directly follows from that verse is the fact that a true warrior knows he or she is not meant to look like the rest of their culture or be defined by the world. They are meant to resemble God and not the world. Okay? Everybody understands that. We all good? Point number two. A chosen warrior realizes that he or she has received a mantle from God. A chosen warrior knows that they have received a mantle from God. Now, the word mantle in Hebrew is the word aderet, A-D-E-R-E-T. It means large, big, great, wide, powerful, excellent, noble, mighty, and glorious. Think about that. The word for mantle means large, big, great, wide, powerful, excellent, noble, mighty, and glorious. Now, this is one of the things which, if you don't remember anything else, remember this. One of those things. I'm going to say this a couple times today. One of the things I want you to remember tonight. You see, a mantle is bigger and greater than anyone it's given to. A mantle is bigger and greater and more glorious than whoever receives it. Each one of God's children is given a mantle and a calling. The mantle speaks of greatness. And you must realize that your mantle is bigger than you. It's too big for you. It won't fit you, and it might not even match who you are. Oh, well. But you all have a mantle. A warrior will at times struggle with the magnitude of their mantle in comparison to who they are. I can't do this. It's way too big for me. Why are you doing this? I had the experience 10 years ago when someone laid hands on us and I said, God, I know what you just did. Why'd you do that? I know exactly what you just said when that man prophesied over me. I know what that means. I ranted and raved all the way home in the car. Well, anyways, that was 10 years ago. Oh, well. Now, this is not necessarily something that you would tell a new Christian. You might not want to tell them that right away. But as we grow, we realize that our inheritance and our mantle and our destiny is only accomplished by the grace of God. I spent all last year at our church in here talking about crossing over. And when I did that, I said that Israel could only conquer the promised land and maintain the land allotted to them by trusting in God and being obedient. And so as we are moving into the new year, 5778, it's a crossing over season. It's a time to pick up the glorious new mantle that God has for you. You got to do that. Remember, it's always greater and more powerful, more noble, more excellent, and more glorious than the one who wears it or receives it. Why would God give us a mantle that's too big for us? Why? That's a good question. The answer is it's not meant to fit who you are. Hear that. It's not meant to fit who you are. It's meant to fit who you are to become. Do you ever watch a parent when they go shopping? If you've had kids, you know that you don't always buy clothes for them in the size that they're at. You always buy maybe a size or two bigger. Why? Because they're going to grow into it. Right? And that's how it is with God's mantle. You know? Your mantle must go beyond who you are, so that you can grow into it and rise into it. God knows that. Now remember, people like Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Peter, among others, received mantles from God. They all felt unworthy about the mantle that they received, and for good reason. It was too big for them. Think about King Saul. Where did we find him? Hiding with the animals. Why? Because it was too big for him. Moses said, hey, God, send somebody else. I don't want to do it. Jeremiah told God, do not be a deceitful brook to me.
Deceitful what?
A deceitful brook. Now, at the beginning of this point, I used a specific word. I said, a chosen warrior. I used the word chosen because it's very important. You can't overlook the importance of that word. If you are sitting here tonight, you are picked. 2 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation, his own special people. And what in the world makes us qualified to be chosen? Nothing. Really, nothing except the grace of God. And so we're chosen. Lisa's chosen. Marie's chosen. Rob's chosen. Captain's chosen. Katie's chosen. We're all chosen. Get it in your heart. You are chosen by God, and we're given a mantle bigger than yourself. And like Diane Friedman, who's 96, pick up and run the race that God has for you. I remember growing up as a kid, it was a different age, but after school, we'd go grab our bikes and we'd go to the ball field and go play pickup game. baseball in the fall and in the spring. And we'd pick a couple of people, and they would be captains, and they'd start picking. Now, I was never picked first or second or third or even fourth. There you go. Okay. The naturally gifted person was picked first or second, you know. And you've had, obviously, you've had that experience. And it's not fun to be the last one picked. But you know what? In God's economy, being chosen is not done like that. It's not done like that. God looks at your heart. God looks at your heart. That's why when I started this series the last time, the first thing I talked about was the importance of your heart. Let me say that, let me add a little bit of my own personal thing here. You know, I love doing this. I do. I mean, I was a teacher for 38 years, so standing up here is just my thing. You know, it's just ingrained in me, and I love doing all this. But I often think about people that have large churches, you know, who maybe go and speak at other conferences and all that kind of stuff. And at times I confess, I have to say, I'm a little envious. Like, it'd be nice if I did that, Lord, you know. But one day the Lord spoke to me, clearly said to me, it's a privilege for you to work for me and to be chosen by me, no matter what size field I put you in. End of statement. Shut my mouth and go on. Okay? But it's true. Whatever field God puts you in, it's an honor to be there. No matter how big or how small. The grass is not greener somewhere else. Okay? So my application is that your mantle will place you in a field or a place of work for the Lord, and the grass isn't greener there. So, to end this point, I reiterate. A chosen warrior realizes that he or she receives a mantle from God. Point number three. Or the sixth point in this whole series here. Number three tonight. Okay? Now, I want to introduce this point with a story. All of us are aware, I'm sure, to some degree, that we have just gone through or remembered the 20th anniversary of Princess Diana's death. And there have been any number of documentaries on her life and on her death and all of that, you know. But one obvious thing about that I realized was that she received a mantle when she married into the royal family. And she wore her mantle in a different manner than the rest of the royal family did. And her mantle was larger than herself. I mean, if you know anything about her lifestyle, you know that. However, the other thing I picked up was, and that I felt that was obvious to me, was that she was not prepared at all to really embrace her role. I guess you could say she didn't really count the cost of what this was going to be. And so my third point tonight is, the heart of a warrior knows there's a price to pay and is willing to sacrifice to see their mission completed. A heart of a warrior knows there's a price to pay and is willing to sacrifice to see their mission completed. Now, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 14, please. Luke 14. And we're going to go to the end of the chapter. It's a few verses we're going to read, but drive the point home. We're going to start at verse 25. Luke 14, 25. We're going to go to the end of the chapter. So with this is what it says. And great multitudes went with him, and he turned to them and says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, and all who see it begin to mock him, saying, that man began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, sends a delegation and asks conditions for peace. So whomever does not forsake all he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? And if it is neither fit for land nor the dunghill, but men throw it out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Very simple. Count the cost. Count the cost. Those are not necessarily easy words to read and really take to your heart. But that's what Jesus said. You know, it's warriors are the ones that live in the foxholes in the trenches. Count the cost. Do you want to live in a foxhole in the trench? Spiritually? Joshua chapter 10, verse 9. You have to turn there. Joshua chapter 9, verse 10 tells us that Israel marched all night and fought. I don't think they took a siesta someplace in between there. They didn't. God even stopped the sun for a while. It doesn't say that any of the soldiers complained about how long they marched or how long they fought. When they signed up for the army, they knew what was coming. In his book, A Time to Triumph, Chuck Pierce writes the following. Kingdom people are sent out to do kingdom work. As kingdom representatives advance, they meet opposing forces. Kingdom people know warfare and do not back off from it. They know that kingdoms are in conflict and have learned to maneuver in the warfare of the kingdom. They are not trying to protect themselves. They are on a mission every time they leave their front doors. We have been given grace and faith to overcome the Antichrist forces. Okay? Let me tell you the story. Let me finish this point by telling you a story of William Hunter. Now, you probably have never heard of William Hunter until this very moment. William went to London in 1553. Mary was the Queen of England and a staunch Catholic determined to purge England of its evangelical heresy. Okay? Back then. So Mr. Hunter lost his job when he refused to receive communion in the Catholic Church. He then proceeded to return to his home, and he was found by a local priest reading a Bible. The priest had the 19-year-old boy arrested. And over the next 9 months, on 12 separate occasions, he refused to recant his belief. And so finally, he was sentenced to die by burning. The Queen herself, Bloody Mary, signed the death warrant for this man. Finally, on March 26, 1555, he was led to the stake. And he died. But as he was led to the stake, he is quoted as having spoke to his father that morning. And he said, God be with you, good father, and be of good comfort, for we shall meet again when we shall be merry. He then knelt, prayed the 51st Psalm, create in me, God, a clean heart, and went on to read that. And when he was chained to his stake, he said, Son of God, shine on me. And immediately in the middle of this dark, gloomy day, the sun broke through the clouds and shone brightly on his face. He spoke to his brother and said, Brother, do not be afraid. Think on the passion of Christ. He bowed his head and died. As I bring my message to a close tonight, let me ask you this question. What are you willing to die for? History is full of men and women that have been martyred for the faith. And so tonight I left you with 3 points. Number one, a chosen warrior is willing to be transformed into whatever God needs him to be. Number two, a chosen warrior realizes he or she receives a mantle from the Lord. And lastly, they know that there's a price to pay and they're willing to sacrifice to see their mission completed. Al, it's all yours.
Thank you, Rob. My generation was looking for something to live for. This generation is looking for something that's worth dying for. There is only one thing worth dying for. That is the King of Kings who died for us. If you are a chosen warrior, you know that he is preeminent. That he is the reason that you breathe. That he is the one who has given you a destiny that is much greater than all of our college degrees, all of our accomplishments, any investments we could have ever made. Because he has one thing for you to do. That's honor him with every breath. It cost something to do that. What are you willing to die for? I'm willing to die for my wife and my kids and my grandkids. They all know that. What are you willing to die for? Are you willing to die for the truth that set you free? When we travel overseas, I'm told at times I shouldn't say certain things. And my response is, then you should pray that the Lord doesn't ask me to say those things. Is that right? Because in some nations it is illegal for me to state truth. I can be arrested, I can be deported, or whatever they want. What are you willing to die for? You are mighty warriors. From his perspective, he sees you as mighty warriors, not men and women sitting in chairs, not children playing on the floor. He sees who he created you to be in Christ. And all he asks us to do is the 6 points that Rob has spoken in the last two times he's spoken. Guard your heart. Adam and Eve didn't guard their heart. And so they made it easier for you and I not to guard our heart. But he sees you as a warrior clothed in his glory. The angelic hosts that Casey saw during worship see you clothed in glory. They don't see me in a Hawaiian shirt. They see me as who he made me to be. I received a prophetic word in 2001, could have been 2000, from a woman in Australia that I met at a conference in Colorado, that the Lord made me to be stealth, and they don't have a word for hatchet, with a little axe in my hand to go and chop off at the ankles every enemy in the places the Lord was sending me. And then I would leave before the enemy even knew I was there. That's who God sees you to be. His advance troop to go in and speak truth and love and disarm the enemy so that you or someone else can win that one soul that he's been waiting for. Are you willing to die for that? I want to see my great-grandkids. That's going to be another 10 or 15 years. But I've counted the cost. If the Lord asks us to do something, even as he sung over us prophetically tonight, he's going to prepare that banqueting table for us. His word will be our portion. If he gives you a word to go and do something, that means he's already given you the victory in it. That's what his love is all about. It casts out all fear. So what are you willing to die for? That's your assignment this week. Figure out what you're willing to die for. I'm not willing to die for my bank account. There's not enough in it worth dying for. Amen. That's what happens when you have the gift of giving. I'm not willing to die for my college degrees. I've got them. I've used them. They've opened doors. I'm not willing to die for my hobbies. I'm willing to die for my King. And for some of us, that means we will live a life in captivity. When Casey and I travel, and those of you who have traveled certain places with us, you have been able to meet people who counted the cost and gave everything. You are mighty warriors, dressed for battle. And it's not with mail. It's not with shields and swords. It's with glory. He has clothed you and mantled you with glory. You know, the last definition Rob used was glorious for our mantles. Because every mantle he gives you comes with and from his glory. During worship, Rob, the Lord spoke to me for you and Barb. He said, there's been some things you've been asking him. It's almost like you've been facing a wall and you wanted to know answers. And he said, the door is opening in the next 6 months. it's going to surprise you where that door opens. Father, we thank you that you have clothed us with glory, that you have mantled us with grace, and that you have lavished us with your love. Lord, I ask that you would quicken each of us to get before you this week and to hear what you say we are willing to die for. Lord, I ask that you would show us your face, that we would see the light of your love in your eyes and know that your ears are attentive to our voice as we ask you to show us what it is you are asking us to lay down. And Lord, I ask that you would give us divine appointments this week, that once we know what you have said to us, we will go boldly with confidence and the courage of heaven to achieve what you ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.